Heroes on the Move.
Welcome to Millennials on the Move podcast, and I am super excited to have my mentor with us today. She is about to drop crazy good gems about how important it is for anyone, not even just millennials, to have a mentor. So, Fran Harris, thank you for joining us today. How are you doing?
Excited to be here, Micah. Can't wait.
All right. So I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about her. Fran Harris brings 30 years of entrepreneur experience, starting with her journey from her first business as a snow cone entrepreneur at age 9 to where she is today as the CEO of a 20-year training and development company with Fortune 100 clients. Look, I can really go on and on, but honestly, that kind of says everything anybody would need to know and hear to feel like this is the perfect person that is going to give us the insight that we need, because she was mentored. She had some of the tools, but she needed somebody to fine tune them to make sure she became who she became today. So, Fran, the first thing I want to ask you is, what do you think a mentor has to bring to the table in order to be successful?
Well, you know, my favorite quote is, to know the road ahead, ask those coming back. That is a Chinese proverb. To know the road ahead, ask those coming back. And that means if you want the fastest route to where you want to go in life, in business, relationship, whatever, then you need the guidance of someone who's been there. So I see a mentor kind of as a supplemental GPS system, right? They help you get to the destination that you're trying to go to. They don't necessarily hold your hand the entire way, but they provide that GPS-like experience and coaching and mentoring so that you ultimately get there.
Right. What do you think the qualifications of a mentor must be? Like, just narrow it down. What type of person they have to be? What type of character do they have to have? Personality traits, things like that.
Because there are so many different kinds of mentors, you know, you got to fill in the gaps of what you need. So let's say if you were a tech entrepreneur, so and you wanted to start a company that was going to be tech-based or tech-enabled, then you would need someone maybe who has relationships in the tech industry, people who have raised capital in the tech industry. So you could literally conceivably have 7 different mentors based on what you need, right? So there's not one general sense of qualifications or criteria. It's really about your destination, the mentee's destination, and filling in the gaps of your personal and professional and business development. So personally, let's say you are not very good at communicating difficult things. Then maybe your mentor will help you to understand why you can't say the hard things, why you can't look at the hard things. So this could be wrapped up in one mentor, or you could have a couple of mentors. One is like for your soft skills, like relationship building and communication and assertiveness. Right. And your hard skills, you might have a mentor who's like for sales or negotiation, those kinds of things. So it really depends on the needs of the mentee.
I think it's really important what you said. Most people, and this is my opinion, most people probably feel like they only can have one mentor, right? It's like, this is my end all be all. Everything I need is coming from this one person. But that just kind of wowed me, because I didn't even think about mentorship on like a level of like group, you know, like multiple people that I can be getting insight from. You know, I just say I have one mentor, then I have everybody else who kind of like helps me out, but I guess the title, I give it to the person who helps me out the most. So everybody out there listening, that is a gem that she just dropped. If you are looking for something specific that multiple people can, you know, offer you, then go for it. Do get multiple mentors.
Yep, absolutely. And it's important to have mentors like, I mean, for instance, like me with you, I have a nice toolbox of skills. So you could kind of get one-stop shopping with me. You could.
Right.
But let's say you couldn't. I'm totally the mentor who would say, hey, Micah, listen, that's not in my wheelhouse. Let me introduce you to XYZ. This person is a guru, a master of this stuff. And that's really one of the things that you want your mentor to do. You want them to support and ask you the hard questions, challenge you or whatever. But you also want your mentors to be tapped in, to be plugged in. You want them to be plugged into the community and plugged into professional networks and networking organizations so that if they don't have what you need, which is very, very possible in most cases, that they can just say, hey, let me reach out via email, LinkedIn, or let me call so-and-so and so-and-so because I know they have what you need.
Right. And that leads me to my next question. How does someone talk to their mentor? Like, what should that relationship look like? I just think, you know, it's a little overwhelming, you know, at times. And yeah. I know people have a difficult time, kind of like the example you gave earlier, saying hard things and negotiating and, you know, just being real and not, you know. So tell us, how should we talk to our mentor?
So it's a professional relationship. A lot of the times your mentor will be someone who's older, but not always.
Right.
But it is a professional relationship. That's the thing. And so use your own good sense about how to speak to people just based on your own good sense, right? If I had a mentor who was like 80 years old, 90 years old, I'm just exaggerating, I probably wouldn't be like, yo, check this out. I mean, I probably would not talk to them that way.
Right.
But maybe I would. But the point is, use common sense and lines of respect and decorum. So speak to everybody respectfully. But of course, if you have, for instance, let's say you were being mentored by a millennial who, you know, has been in business like for real for 10 years.
Right.
And y'all are the same age, but you would totally talk to them differently. You would totally, because you're like a contemporary. So just use your good sense about how to talk to, but always, always respect the boundaries of professionalism and basically that relationship. That relationship is in place so that they can help you get to your next next destination.
Right. So what I want to really get into is the person that is coming to a person for guidance, who is reaching out to an individual that is either where they want to be or where they're planning on being. Can you help them become coachable in some sense? Like, what type of person, what type of mindset should people go into when they are looking for a mentor and when they are being mentored?
Great question. So I'm going to start with the first part of that, which is I'm going to go a little bit further earlier, if you will, of the first question, because how do you even approach someone to be your mentor? Let's start with that.
Right.
But even before you were trying to be coachable, if you see someone, you think, oh, actually, I would totally love to be mentored by this person. The first thing is to set expectations. First thing in your head is to set expectations. Like if you identify someone that you want to be mentored by, let me just tell you that it probably won't be the relationship that you have in your head. That's the first thing.
Oh, okay.
The second thing is reaching out to them is a matter of understanding that you are probably not the only person who's reaching out to them. That's the first thing. So they've probably gotten this 30 times this week already.
Right.
So the first thing is to identify why that person is the person that you want to be mentored by, right? So what is it? Professional development, networking. So have a very specific ask in mind, a very specific ask and outcome in mind, even before you reach out to them. Okay, so I've identified this person. I want to reach out to them because they are moving in circles. I want to start a fashion line. They are moving in circles that I need to be moving in to be able to make my dream of a fashion line a reality, right? So that's the first thing. What is my ask and what is my desired outcome? You may not get either of those, but at least you're very specific on those.
Right.
Then there is the outreach to them. It should be short. It should be professional. It should not have typos. Ideally, if it can come from someone who knows that person, it's going to be better. So a warm connection, a referral, is going to be better than just, hey, out of the blue, I'm Fran Harris, really liked your blog post about kindness and would love for you to mentor me.
Right.
I really don't want to see that. Right. But so figuring out what your pitch is. Your pitch is, hey, this is Fran Harris. I am starting a new beverage company. I noticed that you won Bev Company of the Year in 2019. And I was wondering if you might have a few minutes to visit with me about my startup.
Right.
So don't go into the relationship asking for marriage. Right.
Right.
Don't ask for the mentorship up front. Don't say, because I get that all the time. And I was wondering if you could mentor young entrepreneurs like me. And I'm like, that sounds like we're getting married. And I don't want to get married right now.
I get it.
So you want to ask for one short thing, right? Do you have 15 minutes to talk to me about my beverage company? You know, we can, that kind of thing. And then just boom, stop. I would really appreciate it and get out. And then let them respond to that and then have that conversation. And then just continue again to build the relationship. And then maybe at some point in the next 3 to 6 months, you can say, the relationship may evolve into that. It actually may evolve into some form of mentoring. Right. Sometimes I feel like the young people, they try to consummate the relationship too early, right? Don't go in asking for mentorship. Ask for a small thing that's easy for me to say yes to. I can say yes to a 15-minute Zoom call with you easier than I can commit to being your mentor.
Right. And I think most times we're not even thinking about how much of a commitment it is. You're asking an individual to carve out time in their lives to essentially sit down and kind of spoon feed you in a sense. You know what I'm saying? Like nurture you and take care of your mental. Like that is, I've never even thought about it on that scale because obviously I'm the person needing help. So you're just gimme, gimme, gimme. I want, I need. You can help me. Not even considering what that's going to mean to that person. So everyone out there who is searching for a mentor, the tip was not to go in trying to get married. Go in with a specific ask that you want that can be done very easy. And hopefully it may turn into a mentorship. But a lot of us do go in there thinking, this is going to be one of the best friends I have for the rest of my life. They're going to make sure that all of my business endeavors are going to succeed. They're probably going to invest crazy money into me. And that is not ideal. That is not realistic either. And I want you guys to sit with why you want a mentor and the ideas you have of what that looks like, because it's different for everyone, like she explained. So mindset, where do you think a person that is searching for coaching and mentorship, what type of mindset should they be trying to get? Because I know all of us, it's a journey, right? So what should that look like?
Well, the first thing is try to put yourself, try to envision what a day in the life of your mentor is like. And therefore, you would have a great deal of more respect for what they are doing during the course of the day. And therefore, you can actually tailor your sessions and your conversation and your outreach based on how busy you know they probably are. You should always assume that they are busy. So the first part of the mindset is always assume that the person you want to be mentored by is crazy busy.
Okay.
Right? So if you know that reality, then you approach it very differently. You come with one thing. Don't come to me talking about 12 different things. You come with, okay, Francis, I'll give you 20 minutes today. Then I got my two things. I got my one thing and my backup thing. And so if I get a little bit more time, I'm ready or whatever. The second thing is always come willing to give, right? Because mentees typically go into relationships of what I can get. Just as you just said, oh, this person's going to invest in me. They're going to tell me this. They're going to connect me. I'm going to be in their circles. I'm going to their parties. I'm riding in their car. You're probably not. So what can you give the relationship? So I want people, when they approach me, to know a lot about me. I'm just being curious. I'm just being serious.
Right.
You know a lot about me. You've read my Wikipedia page or my website, or you've read some articles. Like, you don't need to know my life story. But when you come to a mentoring relationship, you do need to come to that first conversation with, hey, I read your blog post. Hey, I saw you on Good Morning America. Hey, I read your last book. That needs to be in that first conversation, that first contact, email, DM, whatever it is. Really enjoyed your last book. Really enjoyed your TED Talk, that kind of thing. And it's not BS and it's not kissing up. It's just showing me that you've done a little bit of research.
Right.
And that you have a little bit of depth to you. So that's the other mindset. Come to the relationship with something to offer and something to give. Because if I decide to invest my time with you, then I want to know that it's just not a one-way street. So you want to say, hey, is there anything I can do for you? You want to always ask with the mindset of offering to serve. So, hey, is there anything I can do for you? And I might say, yeah, shout me out on your millennials. I'm trying to get into the millennial space. Can I get a shout out on your podcast? That kind of stuff. So those three things are very important.
Right. Man. So you're helping me with our little mentorship because I'm going to be real. When I have a crisis, when something is going on, I immediately just text people. Are you good? Can you talk? Like, I don't think about what you're doing in your day. And I honestly do know you're busy. I do know your load. I do know what you're taking on. But the overwhelmed part of me just disregards and quick side note, everyone. She's also my aunt, so that may be that part taking over. So what I will encourage everybody who works with family, who are living lives that you possibly that you potentially want to live and they're going in the path that you want to go in, be mindful. You are family, but this person is still a professional relationship. And I think we've been able to find a good balance over the years. It's been rocky for the most part, but I think we actually have found a good balance. And so I'm going to get a little personal. So let's briefly talk about, and we both have articles, how I fired my niece and how I got fired by my mom. So I'm going to leave the link so you guys can check those both out and look at the different perspective that we both have on how we started this partnership. So Auntie Fran, can you tell them what they need to look forward to as far as the relationship of a mentor mentee goes? Like what it all entails, the good things. Because we talked about, you know, some of the bad stuff. So let's talk about some of the good stuff.
The good thing is that you can be accelerated. I mean, think of a mentoring relationship as an accelerator.
Right.
You guys may have heard like business accelerators. That's what they are. If you're invited to be in an accelerator, whether you have to pay or whether it's complimentary, that's exactly what it should be. It should be an accelerator because what it's going to do is going to put you in an environment where you can accelerate your business, your lifestyle, your whatever, because you're going to be around people who've already done what you want to do. Therefore, they have already paved the way. They know the tools. They know the resources. They know the people. They know the circles. They know everything that you need to be in. Doesn't mean that when we enter into a mentoring relationship, that I'm going to just say, here's the buffet. You get everything that I've worked 30 years for. Probably not. Probably not.
Right.
But the best part of being in a great mentoring relationship is that you have access. You have access to all of that. Right. Just like someone asked me today about something and I said, they asked me someone just texted me before we got on this and said, do you know someone in Austin who can mentor me as a real estate investor? And I said, of course, sure. Let me finish lunch and I will reach back out to you. That's the power of a mentoring relationship.
Right.
Is you can call them and say, hey, do you know somebody who can do this? Do you know where I can get a good venue in Chicago? Do you know? And then they will say, there's probably somebody in my network that I can reach out to. So that's the most important thing, is the ability to accelerate and fast track your success or wherever you want to go. The other thing is the trust that you build over time. The trust that you build over time in a mentoring relationship is very, very important, because sometimes a lot of mentoring relationships will morph into business partnerships, right? So I may bring you on. I go, hey, I'm thinking about starting this professional development company, and we need a whole millennial section department. We need a whole millennial division. That's the word I was looking for.
Right.
And hey, I happen to mentor someone who is a business success and millennial success and a business expert. Would you be willing to help me grow the millennial division of my company? Boom. Right there. Right. I don't even have to go outside of my network because I've been mentoring this young woman, this young man who's doing that. That is the power. Again, it's acceleration. It's acceleration to the nth degree.
Did everybody hear that? Did everybody hear what mentoring can offer your life? It could possibly be one of the best things, if not the best thing, to ever happen to you. And they can open many doors. So everyone out there who is struggling with asking for help or even putting themselves in the position to accelerate your life because of whatever excuse you've told yourself, or the lack of discipline, or even I think, being afraid to even reach out. I mean, it is a big deal. It is uncomfortable, and it's that fear of rejection that all of us have, because even when you put yourself in a situation where it's like, you know what, I'm gonna do it, it's a possibility that they're gonna say no, right? And so I think that is more like daunting, to know that it's like, this is what I want, this is what I'm working for, blah, 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 and then they tell you no. So I always say recently, you're not a failure, right? You've just failed. So you got to put yourself in a position to know how to pick yourself up and keep moving forward, because rejection is going to happen. But the bigger picture is that the relationship of a mentor-mentee is life-changing. And Fran, what I want you to do is kind of tell us a little bit about your first mentoring relationship that you had when you were, you know, 28 and starting out everything. Just briefly tell us about that before we close out.
Great. So the first thing I will say before I share that, if you're good with it, is you brought up something about rejection and when you reach out and people are afraid. I will tell you that I know lots of mentors who will reject people totally intentionally and on purpose the first time out, because they want you to understand that life ain't that easy in most cases. Most people don't step up to the plate and hit a home run the first time they play baseball. Most people don't step up to the free throw line and sink a free throw the first time they do it. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
And plus, they want to see what we're about. So you have the balls to reach out to me. That ain't no big thing. Like, lots of people can reach out to me, but what are you going to do when I slap you down and go, nope, not interested, got too much, don't have enough time to be mentoring some millennial, I don't have time for you right now. What are you going to do? Are you going are you going to walk away with your tail between your legs? Or are you going to have a system in place? Okay, I reached out to Fran Harris on January 2nd, 2020, and here I'm going to reach back out to her. She told me no on January 2nd, 2020. I'm reaching back out to her in September of 2020, and we're just going to see what happens. But what most people do is they reach out to me or whomever on that day, and we never hear from them again. We never hear from them again.
Yeah.
Because that rejection either counted them out. They thought it meant something. Oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not where I need to be. And it could mean some of that.
Right.
But in a lot of cases, it just means not now. It may not necessarily mean no. Sometimes it means you're not a fit, but sometimes it just means not now.
Right.
But I am always looking at how people receive and respond to rejection.
Yeah.
And if you get mad at me because I don't have time for you, if you get mad at me because I choose not to work with you and I experience that with you, then we're never going to work together. But if I hear, hey, I know that it may not be the right time. Hey, I reached out to you on January 2nd, 2020, and I just wanted to know if your schedule has opened up. I didn't hear from you. Just wanted to give you an update that I've now started my company. Like, that is how you need to be navigating the world of mentoring.
Right.
You need to see it as a relationship. And you may not get what you want on the first time out, but keep in touch. Hey, I wanted to connect with you on LinkedIn. Yes, I just started my company. Just got my first funding. Just had my whatever. So I want to make sure everybody understands that sometimes mentors will reject you because they want to see what you're made of. Mm. And so your question for us to round out was what?
Your relationship with your mentor.
Yes. So I had recently one of my mentors, it was my first job when I was in grad school. So I wasn't even quite 28. I think I was like 25 or 26. Mm-hmm. She gave me my first job. Her name was Carol Nasworthy. And what a great name, Carol Nasworthy.
Right.
And she was in Austin, and she hired me and really became like my mentor, kind of became like my mom, you know, just that kind of spirit she had, that kind of energy in my life. But we kept in touch. We didn't go on vacations together. She and her husband were just always looking out for me. And I would always call her when things went well, when I needed to talk to her about what was happening in the professional world. I could call Carol. She would always tell me, like, literally, that was a 20-year relationship. And some of them are just really special like that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and the cool thing about her, she was very well connected. And she was connected in business, politics, nonprofit, like everything. She was really well respected and very well connected. So she died a few years ago. But that relationship started as me, like a 24, 25 year old in graduate school, my very first job. And it just continued. But that relationship was built on mutual respect and admiration. I mean, that was a cool thing. She would literally like brag on me like I was her kid, but she'd always tell people I was her. She gave me my first job, and all of that was true.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful relationship because it was built on trust and admiration and great communication.
Wow. So that is really inspiring to hear. You know, I think a lot of people are missing out because of fear, like we talked about. So I want to really, really encourage people to keep pushing forward and looking for someone that can elevate your life and accelerate your business or your career or your personal life in general. You know, therapists can do that as well, but mentorship, you can get a little bit more personal and you can call them without it being a lawsuit along the line. So mentorship is very important, and I have a few tips for successful mentoring sessions for a few of you just before we close out. So what we learned today is we need to prepare and ask relevant questions before we seek out our mentors. We need to be respectful of our mentors' time and experience once they have agreed to take on the responsibility of what it means to be our mentor. Asking and following up questions and exchanging information is also important because, like she said before, they may not be your mentor initially. You know, they may just be the person that connects you to certain services and you connect them to what they're looking for. It just may be that type of partnership. It may not be a mentorship, but be open to that. And afterwards, ask yourself what you learned about being with this mentor and the time that you guys took to elevate whatever you came to them about. What are you learning from that and how are you growing? So, Fran, is there anything else that you want to leave us with before we close out? Any advice?
I would just say, yeah, just make your hit list, make your top list, your hot list of 7 to 10 people you would like to be mentored by in the next 12 to 18 months, and then just start your plan of attack for communicating with those people and reaching out to them. But again, make it a plan, not just if they say yes, great. If they don't, I'm moving on.
Right.
Like if you really, really are intentional and you want that person, then you need to have a plan in place to continue to stay in communication with that person until it happens, until something happens. It may not be the relationship you envision, but until there's some kind of contact. Or by the way, until someone says, no, stop contacting me.
Right.
Don't contact me anymore. I'm not interested. Goodbye.
Right. Respect boundaries, people. It means no. Let's move. No,
yep.
No. Move on.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Fran, for being with us. And millennials, everybody listening to this podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. Please, please, please subscribe, like, review, rate, everything. Keep us going. And we will talk to you next.